Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast with me, also P-Flax, also Sips.
Yeah.
Good morning. We're back for another week of this.
Yeah.
How are you guys feeling? You feeling good this week?
Sure.
Positive? You feeling like you want to take the world, grip it by the balls, and just fucking
ram,
run away?
Yeah, ram its balls into
just flee with
a
it
microwave,
to a Caribbean island and just embrace it
Embrace
the
balls, yeah.
Just grab it by the pussy and drag it around the room and,
Holy crap.
Fucking take care of business.
That's how I'm feeling today, yeah. Flax has nailed the summary of how I'm feeling today.
So this week I went to the doctor
about
this anxiety I've been having and stuff like that. And she gave me some medicine.
Right.
And it's like a tiny little box with tiny little tablets.
Yeah.
And it's got, listen to this. This huge scroll. It looks like something that you would use in medieval times to read a list of heresy charges.
Yeah.
It's this huge scroll explaining how to use it and what it does and stuff like this. So my favorite part was that one of the things you might have is inappropriate happiness.
Right.
Right.
I thought, what does that cover? Like, what counts as inappropriate
happiness?
Right,
like laughing at a funeral?
That's the first thing I thought of was, you know, you'd be at a funeral when they're lowering the body into the hole. And be like, what the fuck, dude? You're like, oh, sorry, it's the drugs talking.
Sorry, I'm on drugs.
Inappropriate happiness.
Yeah. Maybe like enjoying being in a queue.
Yeah, you're like, you're tapping the person in front of you. This is fucking great. So much fun.
Man, I feel like you've got like some little pills and a scroll and stuff like that. And I feel like you just get shit-faced and accomplish the same thing, like inappropriate happiness. Yeah.
Because like that's one side of it.
Anytime I'm drunk, I'm fairly inappropriately happy. In general, I would say. You know what I mean?
Is
like,
when you're drunk, you think.
Yeah.
So do you think that secretly these pills just get you drunk?
It's like a different kind of That's crazy to think though that you're taking something that can alter your state of mind so intensely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's very mild. It's an anti-anxiety. The doctor was like, we can go a few ways here. We can give you some tablets. It'll make you super happy. And I was like, oh, that sounds fun. She said, but you'll basically be on them for good. Like, you know, you and the dose will have to keep going up and everything. I thought, well, that sounds shitty.
Yeah.
So then she said, I don't want to do that. I want to put you on this thing. It's a totally non-addictive. It's just an anti-anxiety thing. Rebalances the chemicals in your brain. I can't remember what the chemical is. It might have been cortonin. That might be something like that, was the chemical in your brain that causes panic and anxiety. And if there's too much of that. I mean, you know, you've seen me play Dota. It's a mad panic. And I'm wondering if hours and hours, year after year, playing Dota has changed the brain chemistry to the point where now my brain constantly thinks I'm being ganked.
Yeah, maybe.
And I'm about to die.
Or, well, it's a team game. So, like, maybe you're stressed out about having to deal with teammates and stuff, you know?
It's my life. It's like
I'm
in an unwarded jungle and, you know, Ursa's going to come out with an abyssal blade any second.
Oh, my God. You're so right. That is what being alive is like.
Yeah.
Honestly, we are in an unwarded jungle.
Yeah.
That is such an appropriate metaphor for life
and
for humanity.
It's true. true. Yeah. And medicine is like, it's like balance changes.
Well, it really caught me.
You know what I mean? Like they come with positives.
There's occasional
they come
balancing.
With buffs, and then there's nerfs as well sometimes.
Yeah,
like
you get an item.
I can put you on these ones and they'll make you pretty happy for the most part, but you'll lose control of your hands entirely. that's the drawback.
Oh, that would be way worse. Inappropriate hand control.
Oh, man.
Like, imagine if like you were just you like every time you were in range of a woman's boob, you just uncontrollably reached
in
out
range.
And grabbed it.
I like that. Yeah.
I have to like stop myself. Honestly, like I don't know. There's just this desire to like in my head.
In
I'm
your
like,
head, you see a woman's breast and you think, I could grab that.
Yeah,
that's in range. You're like the Terminator.
You're just fucking you're walking through the hospice and with like constant jazz hands, like you can't stop. You're just, you know, like a dressed as a magician doing jazz hands with a top hat and smiling.
I think you can do that. I think I'm only a fraction of a second away from just, I don't know. I'm always, humans are, right? We're always on the edge of doing stuff that kind of automatically that we don't quite, or saying things inappropriately that we don't quite mean.
I think you are.
Most of the time, 99% of the time, you manage to stop yourself. But my fear.
And the 1% is that time you had a personal trainer.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I'm thinking most people, that story to most people was like more evidence of shit Lewis says and just kind of, sometimes, like, I like the way you lump us in with, like, there's a hair trigger in your brain. And you're just like, oh, I really want to say something super inappropriate and do something really bad here. I don't think that's most people.
A lot of people are really like that.
No, I don't know if like they just, are, though. That's the thing.
A lot of people don't have any filter. I mean, obviously...
That's true.
Most of the time I do, and I that's what I describe it as. And I'm always very paranoid that my filter won't one day be there, and I will just accidentally do something should never do.
I don't think you can look at it as a negative, because first of all, in a way, I actually admire the honesty of someone saying something that might be inappropriate, but that they actually want to say. Like, sometimes you think there is definitely a time and a place, but you wouldn't be Lewis if you didn't say shit that's other people might not have even thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like a lot of times kids will say things that are racist or like, you know, offensive, and without even realizing, because they don't either understand that that is offensive, or they don't have a filter. They don't necessarily mean it in that way either.
Oh, this happened. This happened to me 2 days ago. My youngest was trying to say chicken nuggets and she mispronounced nuggets as the N-word. And I was like, you can't say that. She was like, she tried to say it again and she said it again. And I was like, no, it's nuggets. She honestly had no idea. She has no exposure to the N-word at all. Like, she's never heard it in her life. So it's just her mispronouncing.
I feel like that would be quite a common thing.
Yeah,
I think,
absolutely. I think absolutely.
Because of the chicken nuggets being so close.
It's like a vowel away, right? It's like super easy. So,
but we always do that. We just skip, when you're doing a phrase like that, you switch around the first two letters. And that's why I was always told, like, this one guy who said, oh, you're looking for like family friendly swear words, just say chicken nuggets. And I was like, oh, chicken nuggets. I like that as like chicken nuggets.
It's the intent behind it though, right? You can't mask like swearing because like you are intending to, like, the intent to swear is there, but you're just like sort of covering it up with something else, right?
Yeah. So like, it's like when they used to dub movies,
you're still sinning.
On TV.
Yeah, you're still sin. Like, if you're not supposed to swear, if you're a true Christian, you shouldn't be swearing. But masking swears with like PU55Y or like the P155 and all that kind of stuff is, you know, like your sinful intent is apparent, is all I'm saying. Like, mask all you want, but I see through your cloak of lies and tricks.
Wow. Some of my old relatives do say racist things occasionally. Right. It's still a thing that was just their generation, and you can't really correct them. And I was thinking, if I had to correct them, how I would do it. And I would be like, I would almost say something like, you know, you can't call the Germans Nazis anymore, you know, or something.
I mean,
like,
I do that all the time, but I do it as a joke. And I you know,
right.
When I'm playing Hell Let Loose, World War II based game, I always like to point out the fact that there are German servers out there that say German language and mic only. And the name of the server is like a reference to some legendary Panzer division, and I'm thinking, if they do that, I'm going to call them Nazis. Like, you know, I'm sorry that, you know,
if you're being
acting like someone who's like, you must only speak German on this server, or we will name ourselves after the famous Panzer Division that smashed the communists at Kursk. You know, I'm like, hey, hang on a sec, guys. Like, that's not cool. You Nazi bastards.
I love how you're the voice of reason in this as well. Hang on a sec here, guys.
Whoa. Yeah. It's funny to me that there are a lot of, especially when it comes to World War II, because obviously so many people secretly, like if there's a website called Quora that I don't know when I signed up to it, but I get messages
Quora
from
it. Quora is one of these fucking websites that you Google a question and there's some old woman or middle-aged woman on Quora saying like, my kid's not eating her eggs for the third day in a row. What's going on?
Right.
You know.
That's like, one side of Quora, definitely. But the other side of it is...
How does that one end? I want to... Like,
tell us the secret.
I want to know what happened to the no eggs for 3 days challenge. Well, you know, no egguary.
But the other side of Quora is a lot of history and military questions.
Right.
And I would say 90% of them seem to be... The Germans could have won, couldn't they? They just needed to do this, they needed to do that. And I'm thinking, first of all, yes, it's an interesting question to ask is, could the Nazi Germany have won?
Yeah.
I've read a lot of stuff saying, no, they couldn't have. Like, it was essentially doomed from the start, which is a good thing, of course. But long term, they couldn't have done what they wanted to do. It was too much of a stretch. And they lacked the resources that they needed to really do what they wanted as fast as they needed to. But anyway, the point is, why are so many people fascinated with they could have won? And a lot of people saying, how much better were the German units and how much better were tanks? And I'm thinking a lot of it is this wish fulfillment of, oh, we were so close, you know what I mean? Of a lot of people who secretly crave that order.
Yeah.
And how much better would things have been if they'd won and everything? I think there is a part of some people where they wanted it, and it didn't happen.
I think early on, I think throughout Hitler was totally insane. But early on, I think he delegated more. And I think the problem later in the war for them, not for the rest of the world, but definitely for them, was that Hitler got more involved with getting in the way of the strategies and making even more dumb decisions, sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Like, he insisted on all kinds of stupid stuff.
Yeah. I think his craziness just started enveloping like all levels of command, sort of thing. Whereas early on, I think he had strategists and generals that just sort of said, we will do it this way. And then they just went and they did it and it was fine for them. But then like later on, I think there were a couple of blunders that were definitely attributed to him where he got involved and forced something.
I also think there's the fact that some people didn't want to admit that things weren't going to work out because he'd have to go and tell Big H.
Yeah, well, they were shit scared of him because he was actually insane.
Adolf, it's Hans. About the Eastern Front. Just a quick update. Yeah, how's it going? Yeah, crinkle. It's great.
Yeah,
wonderful.
We've lost some men. Some men are frozen to death in the cold.
I mean, he
just a couple. It's still good.
He didn't.
We're still at Stalingrad. Yes, yes.
Oh man! Hey, have you guys seen this show that's on? I think it's on BBC One on a Friday. It's called The Goes Wrong Show. Have you seen this or heard of it?
No.
Fuck me, man! It's really funny.
Oh, isn't it based on a play? There was a play called The Play That Goes Wrong.
It is, yeah. But so every week it's like a different play, but it's like there's all the. It's dumb slapstick, but man, it is really fucking funny. Like there's been I think 3 or 4 episodes. I'm not sure if it's like just the first series or whatever, but I've really liked it. Like it's just like it's very innocent, you know, like there's just lots of like stupid shit like props like being handed to them by like, you know, some dude, you know, like some like stagehand or whatever, but like he manages to like get in shot and stuff. Like it's just everything that can go wrong goes wrong, you know, like you open a door on the set and it leads to nowhere, so the guy, but like all of the actors are like totally committed to seeing the play through no matter what happens, sort of thing. It's really, it's pretty clever. It's pretty funny. Like, you should check it out if you haven't seen it. It's good. I've been laughing a lot at it.
I like a little recommendation off the old sips.
Yeah.
So you watch terrestrial TV. I like it. staying
condescending.
It's weird. It's a weird recommendation.
Oh, fascinating. You watch terrestrial television. How intriguing.
It's weird because I don't watch that shit anymore.
I don't watch television sips.
I gave up on BBC and ITV long ago when fucking Mrs. Brown's Boys was on. Oh, and I was just like, I'm done.
I mean, I don't watch any
of
that.
I'm done
shit.
With all terrestrial TV.
I've been watching the SAS one on Channel 4. That's
my wife
still watches a lot of terrestrial
fucking
TV.
Fucking what? Like, what is that? I'm Ross Kemp, and I'm here with fucking Bear Grylls drinking my own piss.
No, it's like ex-SAS guys like who do like this thing where they people try out and they do the same sort of things that they have to do to get into the SAS. Like they have to do this shit where they like fall off a cliff backwards into water.
But does one of the other SAS guys catch them and it's like a trust and faith thing? Or
No. They just fall off
a cliff. Yeah, that sucks.
You just fall off a cliff backwards with your arms crossed and if you can't do it, you're out. Like it's super unforgiving.
That's the
it's
kind
like,
of shit you'd have to get into a gang.
You haven't done this? Yeah, give me your number. You're out. Like it's just you're not going
to
make it sort of
thing.
Well,
you've got to run across the road, right? And slap that bloke in the face. Call him a fatty and then run back here.
Yeah.
Or you're not in the SAS. You're out of the
that's
SAS.
That's exactly what it's like.
It's interesting though, because it's like the hardest, it's like, I think it's the hardest like test of any
organization. It's meant to be the hardest in any military.
Yeah.
The SAS.
Yeah, we mentioned it last week actually. Yeah.
It's interesting. I've only been half watching it. Like I'm not like super into it, but it's pretty good. It's all right.
You know what I do think is weird is like the SAS for a long time, like, and especially now, we don't really know what they're doing.
No.
Like, they're so covert that they...
Yeah, they're like Rambo. Like, they're behind enemy lines.
But
you know,
we kind of see that as a thing to be proud of. It's like, oh, yes, they're out there. But I'm like, aren't they working for us? Like, I hope they're being used in a good way.
Of course, I'm
sure
they are.
And they're not
sure
just
they
going out there to fuck up people who say something mean about the SAS on Twitter. They're like, right, lad's got a new mission. This lad from Cheltenham, slide this off on Twitter. We can handle this. I want a full unit. 5 men go in the front door, 5 in the back. We'll gas this cut out.
That's right. Then we're going to get him out here and we're going to give him a wedgie the likes of which he's never seen.
I'm surprised the level of swearing. Coming from somebody who swears quite a bit.
Even you're taken aback.
Yeah, these guys are on a whole different level.
Right? That's an army language that's been going through hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, you'd get some posh fucking asshole, you know, officer in World War One, hanging out with the troops, you know, in the trenches. And he'd be like, my goodness me, the boys are using some very flowery language in the trenches.
Yeah, yeah. Can we stop the effing and jeffing, please? It's rather a lot.
Well, I think like officers are like that, but then the trench boys are like, oh, pass me my fucking chocolate right fucking now, fuck you, fuckity, fuck, motherfucker. Like that's like, but like the SAS guys, even more so. Like it's actually staggering how many fucks they can fit into one sentence. I thought I was pretty good. But
no, absolutely. It's very, very much like that. And I noticed that in the cadets as well. I think this... What? Because I went to the SAS camp. I talked about it last week. Right.
It's just funny. It's just funny.
Oh, fuck me.
The way we're talking about people joining the SAS, you're like, yeah, I was in the cadets.
With Tarquin and all of the
cadets
others.
Doesn't sound as cool.
No, it doesn't.
All right. Thank you. I think this is partly people envisioning like an alternate reality, because people say, oh, look how close we were to nuclear Armageddon, you know, look how close we were to this happening or that happening. Obviously it didn't, but it's nice to like, but people often set kind of alternate reality, like the man in the high castle or whatever, you know, when Germany won the war. And I think there were times when if a different decision had been made, which, yes, I agree, like history, it's like destiny. We're frozen. We can't change anything. But people like to speculate. Also, I think it's partly propaganda from wartime when people were like, you know, Hitler's at the door. He could boat over here any time. You know, they got their little motorboats. They're going to come over and fucking invade. We need to be. This is it. You know, you have to be on board or we're going to lose, kind of thing. You know, and so I think it is still in the popular consciousness that certainly from the speeches and things that were done at the time that it was a dire situation. I get the impression that, you know, if we didn't make it out,
I think it's much easier,
you know,
to get.
Maybe it wouldn't have.
It's much easier to get your population on board with things like rationing and all the young people being co-opted into this war effort if there is an imminent threat. If you come out and say, lads, we're going to be fine, they can't invade us. There's kind of a lax attitude and, well, what are we worried about? So I think it was important for the mentality of the nation to focus them on, hey, this could be it. And it really, it could have been, like, especially from their perspective, what Sip said about, oh, I think Hitler was crazy. I completely agree. And he definitely fucked a lot of stuff up. But even without that, the purely logistical effort required and the lack of resources that they had, it would have been impossible. Like, the lack of oil was fundamental. They just did not have the capacity to run this vast war machine over this huge distance.
No.
And you're just going to run out of dudes eventually. I mean, it's like Hearts of Iron, you know, manpower is going to dwindle.
Well, that's the thing. There's going to be losses. A lot of people don't realize, like in World War II, you know, everybody says that, like, you know, oh, France just keeled over and gave up sort of thing. But, France's military were fucked by the time World War II broke out. Like,
no, they were the best in the world. They had the best army in the world.
They were the best, but they had very low numbers that they couldn't afford to lose because they'd had generations of soldiers like wiped out in previous wars, sort of thing. Like, the death toll from World War I itself for France was like insane for like
true,
their army.
But it obviously would have been the same for Germany as well. Think about it that way.
It would have been, but I don't know if it was as bad. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think the population of Germany is more so than France, or maybe it was back then. But there was definitely factors involved with France saying we just cannot afford this. Like, it was also absolutely crippling.
I think another part of it was that they'd invested a lot in the Maginot Line. They honestly did have the best army and really good tanks and all the rest of it for the time. They had an army that was seen as unbeatable, and they had to because they were worried about getting invaded again. They knew that this was coming, but they really didn't want it. And all the generals were guys who were from the World War I, remembered it. And we're like, never again. Like, we cannot do this again. And they just did not want another war. So when it came, they thought, well, we can win this. There's only one way they can come. They have to do this. We've got all our best units. And they did the most unexpected thing and went through the Ardennes and then just zoomed. Like, the Germans pushed it so hard.
Yeah.
The attack that they took France completely by surprise, surrounded a lot of units. And it was just like, well, fuck it. Rather than lose all these men, we'll surrender. Like, I think that was a big part of it, was this terror.
I had a similar experience last summer.
When you were in the cadets?
I landed in St. Malo and I zoomed straight through to Disneyland Paris, and the French were just, they weren't prepared.
All the French tourists
they
were
like, prepared.
They are this blitzkrieg of Simpsons taking us by surprise. Like,
this man is incredible. Like, I was
they
just,
cannot compete.
They keeled over for that as well. So it was talking
about faith earlier, and this is funny because we had a quick chat on Discord this morning with a couple of my lads, and we were talking about David and Goliath, right?
Right.
Obviously, that's like the fable of everybody knows David and Goliath. David was the underdog and all the rest of it.
Right.
But in classic sort of documentary historian style, especially military historians, I watched this video a while back, this lad explaining that actually Goliath was the underdog in that fight.
When you consider the terrain and the range, not to mention the fact that the sling was the artillery of the battlefield in his day, you know, explained how a lad in heavy armor trudging towards David across open ground was essentially a sitting duck. And David could just hit him with his sling, and these things have like the kinetic power of like a bullet. Like, it's insane.
So the modern equivalent is like a guy with a gun versus a knight. Is that what you're saying?
Essentially, David was not outmatched at any point in this fight, was this military historian's take on it.
Right.
And when we talk about a David and Goliath fight, what we typically mean is winning against all the odds. But if you look at it, you know, properly,
in the time,
in the context of military history, the sling at range on open ground is completely dominant and was the exact counter to these kind of heavily armored units, which is what Goliath was. If you read the verse, he's heavily armored. He's described as being bronze armor. He's got a javelin and all the rest of it. And David was always going to win that fight. Like, if he was any kind of competent slinger, which we know he was from the story anyway, he was never going to lose. Like, it was not a fair fight. So I think it is funny when we take David versus Goliath, you know, David always wins that fight, so people shouldn't use it.
It's always
Dave. I just thought it was funny. Fucking David wins.
Fucking Dave.
Is that a biblical? Is it biblical?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
Because then, get this, it's not enough that David hits him in the forehead with the sling bullet. It sinks into his forehead, so it's gone right into his brain. What does David do? Goes over, takes Goliath's sword, cuts his fucking head off, and is like, fuck yeah! Like,
yeah, that's, I mean, that's standard. You could tell David was in the cadets. Like, that's standard fucking cadet.
But then I was talking about my favorite, and I feel like this Bible verse was personally written for me. Hang on. Oh, it's my reminder to take my tablet. I already did it. Anyway, I feel like this verse was specifically written for me. Like, if I was ever going to be converted, this is the verse that would do.
You're
it.
Unreasonably happy this Triforce episode. You shouldn't be...
He's inappropriately happy.
So here it is. So the question is, why did God kill 42 lads merely for saying Elijah was bald? So this is from 2 Kings 2:23 to 24, and it goes as follows. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, young lads came out from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. When he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears, very specific, came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number.
Why is this a P-Flax version of the Bible?
Because they make fun of him for being bald. And the bears eat them.
God. What is this translation? I don't remember it saying lads in the Bible.
Hey, I like that part of it. Because I
like it.
But then, so the question is, surely that's not cool. And this guy says, first of all, you can't be mean to a prophet of God. And then get this. This is the sign-off in this explanation for why this is acceptable. And this blows my mind. God did not break his own moral law. The Bible says, do not murder. Murder is the unlawful taking of life. But all people have sinned against God and are worthy of death. So God had them killed according to the law. I'm like, hang on a sec.
Whoa.
That doesn't make sense.
So, right, hang on a second. Let's just redo this story. You're walking to Bethel.
I'm on the way to Bethel.
Yeah.
Or Elisha. You go down the road.
You see a bald man and you say, go up, bald man.
There's 42.
No, there's more.
Lads in the...
No.
More than that.
It says the bears tore up 42 lads of their number. In other words, there was a lot of lads.
So, okay, there were like... Let's say there were 60 lads.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. And the lads are there. Oh, Baldy. Oh, up you're going up the hill, Baldy. Baldy. Go out of here, Baldy. You suck. And you... Go on then, what do you do?
I turn and I say, in the name of the Lord, I curse you.
Excellent. And then... out of the woods comes two female bears.
Two female bears come tearing out of the
woods. Straight into the lads.
And they're like, oh,
just
my God,
tearing into
two
them.
Two female bears, what are the chances?
There's bears! We shouldn't have called that guy Baldy!
But
they're killing us!
But apparently...
And they kill 42.
Hang
on, first of all, that's 21 boys each.
Yeah, yeah.
If two bears descended on a crowd of boys, those boys would be legging it. That's why we're legging it.
Yeah, they can't chase more than one at a time, is the way I see it. Right?
Once you're close up to a bear, you can't outrun it. Like, it's
got reach. Yeah, but they're
going to
go after one of you.
They got long arms and very sharp claws.
The bears.
Do they have long arms? How long are these bears' arms?
Well, bears are
that they
huge,
can get 21.
Like, they can stand like about double as tall as you when they
they're
stand
big.
On their hind
but
legs.
But here's the thing. What the Bible verse doesn't mention is that the bears were equipped with slings. And all the boys were dressed in heavy armor and were slowly making their way up the hill. So really, the bears just used their slings with their long arms and killed all the lads.
Right.
That's what I reckon might happen.
I mean,
maybe.
Sure.
So,
but
so then,
how is anybody, like the people are just guessing about this stuff, right? Like,
what do you mean?
I'm a certified historian and this is my hot take on this. Like, nobody knows, right? Like, it's not like there was a fucking
nobody
CCTV
knows what,
camera.
What
there,
about
like,
the bears? Or?
Yeah. Like, it's just like a lot of it is just fable, right? Like, it's just.
So the next part of the story
is like... There's no way that
bears
did that. Like,
no, of course there's
well,
not. I don't
but
think...
this story, all good stories are based on something that happened. You know,
no.
It could have happened. Like a bear might have mauled a boy and...
42 boys,
know,
though.
Someone in the town might have said, well, he called me Baldy last week. I bet he got, you know, and I cursed him. So I reckon it was God's justice coming down. You know, and that story gets gradually exaggerated.
I don't
corrupted.
Even think it needs that. I mean, it's not like... I don't think stories need to be grounded in fact. You could just come up with stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so dumb. Yeah, I don't know why you would read that and think, oh, this is definitely true.
God, oh, this means something.
Well, because these things get bandied around. You know, there's a bald man in the village who doesn't want to be called bald, and he wants it to get out there that if anyone calls him bald, they're going to be mauled by a bear. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think that's true.
So,
it's
so
like
he
curse.
Is sick of being called Baldy, and he spreads this fucking story. Yeah, so I was going up the hill,
And these fucking boys were all calling me Baldy. So I cursed them and fucking God came down and was like, fuck you, assholes. Here's two bears. Suck this. And 42 of them got torn to shreds. So, yeah, if you call me Baldy, that's going to happen to you, you fucker. And then, you know, that's basically it.
He was like on his way up the hill and everybody's like, go on, Baldy, go on, go on. And then he's like, right, that's it. And then he takes out one of his pills that his doctor gave him and the Popeye music starts playing and he pops it in his mouth. And then he starts being inappropriately happy with all the people.
Exactly. And doesn't care that people call him
Baldy.
But I just think that the explanation that since we are all sinners, God can kill any of us and we're worthy of death is kind of... That's kind of crazy. Like, man, we're all guilty?
Yeah. It's like the Dungeon Master with all of the fucking, with the bulletproof plan, right? Like, nothing, it's airtight. Nothing can get in. There's always like, it's always like, yeah, but what about this? Oh, I have a reason for that one too. And this, oh, there's a reason. Like, fucking, you can never get around it. Like, you can't fuck with God. He can just do whatever he wants, apparently, and just that's it.
I thought confession and all this and absolution and all this stuff and eating the body of Christ and he died for our sins so we didn't have to, like, you know, fucking die as well. Like, I thought, what, is God just a fickle arsehole just squeezing people like bugs to death, like, just because he feels like
no,
it?
No, I just think it's not consistent. That,
but
that's
also
the
boys,
issue.
I thought kids were supposed to be sinless.
No, you're born in original sin.
Yeah.
Of course, so even kids have sin.
Yeah, because we inherit the sin.
That's why you give them cancer, I get it.
Right, we inherit the sin from Adam and Eve. But this isn't...
Well done.
This is all just made up. Like, obviously, we're saying this as non-religious
people. No, it's not.
Right. But no. For some people, I mean, they explain away a lot of the stuff that doesn't make sense. And if they can do that, then fair enough. Go for it. But all I'm saying is I think it's such a big cultural milestone and it's such a huge thing, the Bible and religion, that it deserves a look at. And as a non-religious person, I can look at it and poke at it. And I think
there's got to be some good things that come out of it, right? But I also think there's some poison in there.
I mean, there's
like,
lots
that
of good
makes
stuff.
People behave horribly in the name of some authority that acts like a fucking
idiot kid
with a fucking magnifying glass.
But there are certainly bits. There is, I mean, some of the things that Jesus says are you know, very Zen kind of Buddhist, unsurprisingly, stuff that comes across and says, look, let's just be chill to each other and be nice and treat your neighbors as you want to be treated and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, these are actually quite nice lessons. And it's rare to think of a book written 2,000 years ago that actually says, hey, we should be cool. And, you know, we should help each other and stuff. That is a powerful message.
Oh, yeah. And it's a positive one. And right. It's not enforced in our society through any other way, really, oftentimes.
But you don't need to be threatened with eternal suffering if you don't do it. I think it should be something that we should just explain why it's a good idea and how it's going to help people. But instead, obviously, at the time, it was much easier to convince people to do things if you said, if you don't, you're going to burn in hell for all eternity.
I think some things, like modern things, are like superhero stories, you know, a kind of this heroic kind of attitude where you're helping people and saving people and being good to people and... You know, being good to each other feels like these are the modern parables, you know, that we take on board.
Iron Man's sacrifice at the end of Infinity War.
Exactly.
When he accepted the sins.
Died for us.
Yeah, he died for our sins.
Tears were streaming down my face for that one.
Yeah.
Man, I was so moved.
Exactly.
The last few years have been a lot of tears for blockbusters from me. Han Solo dying in the first Star Wars movie. The new trilogy. I cry.
I don't cry when characters die. I cry when something epic happens.
Right.
I'm like, oh,
like the music.
Really
the music
good.
Comes in.
The welling music wells up. Yeah. And
I cry at movies all the fucking time.
Inspiration.
Like, so
stuff.
I'm such a softie when it comes to films.
Really?
I mean, I literally, like, I was watching Great Expectations on iPlayer the other. I think it was last month. Mrs. F was like, "Watch this. This is like, you know, Dickens classic."
Yeah, I saw it recently.
And it's got a very young Obi-Wan Kenobi in it, Alec Guinness, and it's got like a bunch of other actors in it anyway. And I watched
the new one.
Okay, I watched the old one. It's brilliant. And because I'm such a fucking idiot, I didn't know the story of Great Expectations. Like, I never watched it or read it or anything like that. It was great and it was very moving and I cried and all the rest of it. And I'm just anything like that. Like, I've seen commercials that made me cry.
Did you?
Cartoons, anything.
What about like the Center Parks commercials with the bears? Does those ones ever make you cry?
Only the one where the family got torn apart by two female bears.
Yes.
That was my favorite.
And they killed 42 boys. Another one that always gets me is Disney's Pixar's Inside Out. You know, the part where Bajangles and the fairy are stuck in like the pit
of
stolen dreams
every
or whatever. And they
keep
trying and trying and trying. They can't do it. And then the final one, Mr. Bajangles or whatever his name is like, all right, we got it this time. And he fucking does the ultimate sacrifice and jumps off of the wagon. Oh, fuck.
Yep.
That
Death
tears
of
me
Spock
up.
In Wrath of
that,
Khan
that
every time.
That tears me up inside. Yeah.
It's weird because I feel manipulated, but at the same time, I want it to happen. Like, I don't feel... Like, I think some people get very paranoid about crying at movies because they're like...
Man, I think it's good that you're in touch with your emotions, though. I think more people need to be.
Yeah,
like, and I think if you are incapable of experiencing emotions, maybe it's time to get yourself checked out, you know? Like, do some, like...
We can be too cynical.
Sociopath screening. Yeah,
I think
totally.
People can be
you don't have
cynical.
To be all SAS, Cockney Hard Man.
Oh, mate, are you crying there? What, you a pussy? Come over here and let me give you a wedgie. I'll give you something to cry about. Let me shove this bottle up your ass. It's not weird. So I don't do it all the time. Just it's just me. It just
flashbacks.
Wouldn't normally do this.
Flashbacks from cadets again. So the TLDR here, kids, is don't join the cadets. Unless you want to have bottles shoved
I think,
up your
honestly,
ass.
You're right. Like, there are some really cool, epic moments in movies and stories that make you think, yeah, great. And that's what it's about. It's about those cool... like moments where you think, yeah, like, or like someone gets their own back or something, you know. I think there's two. I say this a lot, but like, you know, I've been playing a few more story-based video games, and some of those have some great little story bits
right.
in where it feels like, I know stories in video games are not the best, and they've always been very, very weak compared to an actual book or a decent movie.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's very, I don't know, it's a good feeling to like be, well, actually you must experience it in Dota sometimes when, you know, you've played against a specific team or something and you've lost to them before, and then you finally bring it back and you get a victory in or whatever.
Oh, man.
You know, it can be like a really emotional moment in all forms of media, from sporting events to like, you know, even like books, you can be like gripped to the page and be like, oh, my God, I hope this gets resolved. And ultimately, the good ones do in a way that is satisfying and not just some sort of cop out. Because, I mean, even in this sort of dystopian attitude where the good guys don't have to win, it feels like modern, since Game of Thrones, the good guys don't have to win, apart from at the very end, in which case it just all gets thrown out of the window. Just please ignore. But, like, you know, certainly in the middle seasons, it didn't feel like, for me, it's all about unpredictable stuff. That's what I like.
Do you think that's because, as I hate to seem lofty, but as a modern audience, I think we are more sophisticated, not us, but people, when it comes to watching movies and TV shows and stuff. We want our media to be more complicated, and people are willing to sit through Game of Thrones. And it was a huge show that crossed all kinds of boundaries of age and demographics. It was just one of those things. And people loved it. And it was brutal and unpredictable, but it was also very complicated. And there was a lot to the characters and the stories. Would that have played in the same way in the 50s and 60s? I don't think it would. I think people would have completely rejected it. They would have said it's too violent, it's too much.
This is the work of Satan.
Right. I just think audiences weren't ready. They hadn't been educated and grown up with shows that are more complicated with time. Our TV shows and our films. I mean, if you look at the Marvel Universe, right? Just as an example. As a blockbuster, that they had a plot thread that ran through, what was it, 24, 25 films? And then the final payoff, and people had followed this plot and followed these characters. That's unusual for a blockbuster. Blockbusters didn't used to be like that. They just made a movie and hoped it made a shitload of money.
Fuck, remember Terminator 2? Oh my
God. Great movie.
I mean, good example is Avengers 2. Like, I mean, the Avengers of that story was very much, it has to be independent, but also... everyone's been following this thing, this story, and so they have, so you can bring in new people, but you can also, you know, make it very fulfilling for everyone who's watched the entire saga.
Right.
I think with, in some cases, like, I'm torn actually about it now. Maybe I'm wrong, because I do like James Bond, even though I know he's going to survive till the end. Or John Wick, you know, even though I know John Wick's not going
to
die.
Oh, I want John Wick to die. Fucking hell.
I enjoy the John Wick movies in that sense. And I like at the same time, like, you know, I can enjoy watching, like I watched like Dunkirk and The Darkest Hour and some of these like war movies about Churchill and Dunkirk and things. And it's a very epic tale. And, you know, with the dramatic music going, even though you know it's going to be all right, you can still get into that, oh no, are they not going to be all right kind of thing. You can still lose yourself in that epic moment.
I think as long as you can empathize, that's the most important thing. If you can't empathize with the characters... And you're just...
I love how the sound just cut off. That you just hear like this fucking plane descending and
sorry.
The sound cuts off.
Oh, I didn't realize the war was still on.
Yeah. There go our brave boys out there to fight the Nazis.
Man. Fuck the Nazis. Oh, I pulled a load of Nazis down and put a bottle up their ass.
What are you into bottles up the asses today?
Yeah, Lewis, what happened, man? Holy shit.
What are they doing? I just seem to associate that with the SAS.
The SAS.
That feels like the kind of thing they do as a joke.
That's what happened. When he was in cadets and they visited the SAS training camp, that's what happened to him. They,
shoved a bottle up his bum.
All right, we need a volunteer.
We all do this.
Lewis put his hand up.
And then
up.
We pushed him off a cliff.
Yeah, I think they were just fucking with you, Lewis, when they shoved a bottle up your ass and threw you off a cliff and they told you. Yeah. If you do this, you'll be in the SAS, Lewis.
A boy has been found washed up on shore today with a bottle rammed in his ass. Doesn't seem to remember what happened.
He says he's a member of the SAS. He's been on a night mission in German territory.
He's got a ball gag and a fucking bottle jammed in his ass.
Oh, man. Oh, fuck.
Man.
It is all that macho-y wank, though, isn't it? It's always led by these kind of people who fucking give you a wet willy and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Those types of assholes. People who play sport, people who play football. Or I watched this thing on Netflix at the Aaron Hernandez. Have you watched the Aaron Hernandez?
No,
story
I meant to.
Is he the quarterback? Is he the quarterback? American
He's
football?
The quarterback a few years ago who murdered
someone.
Yeah,
crazy.
And it's amazing because he was so weird, like in such a jock, and it's surrounded this world of macho bullshit that he was just sort of lost in that world and bit his behavior. Almost like if we link back to the start of the show, like it today, the podcast, where we fucking were talking about like your what you consider to be okay, your personal area.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, he was the kind of guy who wouldn't, you know, you meet these guys who'll just fucking slap you on the arm or like, I don't know, like I don't know, push you or do things like physical things to you.
Yeah.
And they don't even think it's like, that it's part of who they are and like their attitude of what's friendly and what's behavior. And it's like this learned, it's like two gorillas, I don't know, like jostling for position. You know, it's like a weird animal instinctual thing that they do and they learn in these sports teams to be, like so, like, I don't know, so adrenaline fueled and wild and crazy and dramatic. Yeah. And I think that all became part of his, I don't know, I think it just changed who he was and he became this weird, weird guy, like physically violent to people, like women and men and other people. And it culminated in him just doing this crazily macho things, like he thought he was in the mafia or something, you know?
Do you think part of it is that if you're constantly, and I mean day in, day out, having people screaming at you, you got to be competitive, you got to win everything, that it changes you from being a person who evaluates things to a person with one goal and everything looks like an obstacle. So it's like that thing is, you know, what is it? If you only have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I don't know.
Well,
is that
I think
the same?
With Aaron Hernandez, I'm not shitting on all sports people. I think he had brain disease from sports.
Right, but this
I mean,
This didn't help.
He had 10 years of brain injury from sports that said he'd had, like, when they looked at his brain afterwards, he was like, you know, he had the brain of an 80-year-old or something crazy.
They opened up his skull. Oh, just mashed potato in here.
That's what they said about. Remember that wrestler, Chris Benoit? I don't think people talk about him anymore because he murdered his family, but it was the same. He killed himself when they did an autopsy. He was like, he had like the brain of a 90-year-old with dementia. Like, it was so battered from like pile drivers and just from wrestling, like concussions, like whatever. Over the years, and they think that like that mixed with drugs, he just like fucking went off.
I think that it's a billion-dollar industry where these guys are willing to put themselves through this for the, you know, it's a little bit like, I hate to say it, but like sometimes when we do, like, a shoot or whatever. Like, so for example, when Game Grumps came down, they were doing crazy stuff. They were just, like, jumping off a fucking like, fence and, like, just falling on the, like, twisting their arms and stuff, like, actually physically hurting themselves for,
they
like...
They seem to have a lot more energy than we did. I think I don't know if it's like cultural or something.
But you get the impression that when but everyone's done it as well. Like everyone gets this idea to like play it up. Like if you're doing a play, you kind of over-egg it to put on a good show and you do things that you wouldn't otherwise do. You like physically anyway. And I think with wrestlers and footballers and maybe they push themselves.
Yeah, they got to like
beyond themselves. They
up
can't
and
help
stuff,
it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone could tell them, don't push yourself. Like the whole team could be like the coach and everyone and the medical people could be like, push yourself. Do not do these physical things that will hurt you. And they do them anyway because they feel they have to or they feel they want to. It's like their decision. But that ends up giving them these like brain injuries. And then they are left alone. They're like, all right, go home. You're on your own now. And they don't have grounding, they don't have friends, they don't have like, they're in this weird world where they've suddenly got money but they don't know what's, I think they need more, I don't know, like if you're gonna be a billionaire sports team who is making money off giving, you know, teenagers brain injuries, then the least you should do is fucking make sure they're looked after. Like, I don't know, like, or give them proper medical care afterwards. I don't know. Like, it feels like maybe
I'm
wrong.
I think the thing is when it comes to sport, it's a very sacred institution. Like, not just teams, but the sport. Because people love it so much. American football, or in this country, football, or basketball. That when it comes out that actually this is going to really fuck people up in later years, there is a knee-jerk reaction of, you cannot take this away from us. And I think it's weird because I don't know if you guys know, but at the moment in Virginia, in the United States, there is this big protest because they want to bring in what people refer to as common sense gun laws. In other words, background checks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that you know, not just anyone can buy a gun.
Yeah.
And a ban
Wasn't the outcome of that like some guy ruled and he just said, only give guns to good people or something like that? Like that was...
I'm not sure.
What it boiled down to, which is... Okay.
I just think that they also wanted to ban what they called like assault weapons. So like heavy weaponry. Like, you know, do you need an assault rifle? Do you need a 50 caliber sniper rifle? And I think the attitude from a lot of people in the States is, well, if I want it, I'm an American, I can have it.
Yeah, I have
and
a right
it,
to.
It's
I have
to,
a right to own
right.
it. Yeah.
It's a very tough argument to have, especially with people who are essentially really into guns and militias and all that kind of stuff. They're like, that's a part of who they are. They love it. It's like trying to take football away from them, where you say, look, this is really bad and people are getting hurt. We need to stop this. They're like, fuck you. Ah! Like they're very defensive because this is their thing.
Oh, yeah.
This is what they're into.
Honestly, there's a lot of people like just playing devil's advocate. I mean, yeah, gun laws, there are gun laws in America, and there are a ton of people who responsibly own weapons, like them, go to firing ranges as like a hobby or whatever,
right?
That don't rock up to public events and shoot people and stuff. There's millions of people like that. But the problem is, the underlying problem is in America, not just America, a lot of the West now, is that there's this looming mental health crisis that nobody is able to even fathom how to deal with. You know what I mean? Like, and it just gets worse. Like the West's approach to dealing with mental health is still terrible. And there's a lot of people that are just left to their own devices in a country like America, where it's, even though there's regulations and stuff like that, it is easy to come by weapons and ammunition for those weapons.
Right.
And where's the help for people that need it? And how are they getting to the point where they're doing these things? You know what I mean? Like it's crazy.
It is interesting. It's because we have this, with the English speaking world, you know, we've got us and Australia, New Zealand and Canada, and a lot of people in other countries as well who are English speaking. And we consume American media, we consume American propaganda. The internet largely is very American centric. There's a lot of creators and stuff, and a lot of the shows we watch, and you know, we are very associated with the American news, the American story.
They won like, the culture war in Civ for sure. Like definitely.
They did. Yeah. And we feel like, I mean, our country, we have these things that work, and we look at their country and we're just like, how? Like, how are you not like making these changes? Like that are just good for everyone. Like there's not, I'm not saying you have to stop playing football. I'm not saying you have to stop having guns? You know, I'm just saying, like, take these steps towards, like, rationalism. Like, I don't know, like you've won the culture war, but you've forgotten about science. Like, come on, change some dudes over.
I think, like, you know, what you were saying about mental health is really true. And a lot of people will compare gun statistics, which is, I think, completely the wrong way to do it, because there are lots of countries in the world that have guns, and it's too easy. If you go down the gun route of statistics and say, look at all these people dying, it's the guns, then people can easily point to countries that have guns and don't all kill each other, and your argument is defeated. But what you said was completely right, which is there's a big poverty problem in terms of the gaps in society between people who have enough and people who don't. You have a huge drug problem in America, and you have a huge mental health problem. And now, in a lot of states, you can buy extremely powerful guns and easily, which is combined together leads to what you have in the States.
Yeah.
Which is not, I mean, America is not out of control. I mean, you know, most people are fine.
It's got a huge population. Like, it's, you know, these are just things that you hear about in the news, and it seems like it's happening all the time. But really, when you look at it, it's not actually happening all the time.
Right.
It's still
there are places where there is a huge problem with, like, opioid crisis and stuff like that.
Sure.
And there was, this is funny, because I was watching a clip this morning. It was on Livestream Fails, which is just, they should rename that subreddit. It's not, most of them aren't fails. And this guy, I think he's a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Dr. K, I think his name is. He's a streamer. And he was talking about why there is a crisis in mental health from his perspective as a practicing doctor. If you look at why people aren't getting better and why people are being put on drugs so much, is because when you go in to see the doctor, they can make $150 from the insurance company an hour of their time talking to you and finding out what's wrong with you and trying to help you get better and all the rest of it. Or, oh no, I think it was $200 for that hour the insurance company will pay out. Or for a 15-minute appointment, you get $150 if you just prescribe that person some medication.
Yeah.
So the obvious route is that doctors will prescribe brain pills. And after a while, they stop giving them to you, or the insurance company stops paying out, and you then either go back to having mental health problems, or you turn to drugs, and you have that problem. So when we talk about solving the problem, it is soluble. It is completely soluble. We just need to not fucking turn our back on people and say, well, money's more important. But that's a very hard sell in American politics, because these companies are very powerful. Yeah. They don't want to hear it.
Well, and they don't have the social systems like to deal with. You know, there's people that have gone on to commit crimes where they should have probably been in some sort of institute under close supervision, like as some form of threat to themselves or society. And like, those places exist in America, but they're private and they're expensive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing about like that. Like, it doesn't even have to be permanent. Like, these people, sometimes people go through bad times, and within a couple of weeks or months, you don't have to be on these drugs forever. You know, you just need to, like, a lot of times you just have to zap something or you know, like it doesn't have to be the be all and the end all. Sometimes people are just having a bad time for a few months because of various reasons, or things have piled up, or they're in a bad state of mind for unknown situations in their life. If people have a troublesome life, then it's going to happen. I think there's a lot of problems in our world, and I don't think we're going to solve them all.
No, actually, I think we're so close. Like, I don't want you to cut. Like, I think we're on the verge
okay,
of a solution.
We're nearly there.
Yeah, like, I feel like if I just talk about things I don't know much about for like just a little bit longer, we have a fucking good shot at solving.
We'll break it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll crack it.
I think like,
and
we're so
all
close.
The presidents of the world will listen
fuck,
to
we're
Triforce.
Like this close, guys.
We were so
does
close.
Anybody else have any and have any like facts that they can't back up?
I don't know
that,
if
that
we're
they just want to spew out.
But I don't know if we're just are we just parroting like this popular culture that everything's terrible? I don't think it is all terrible. I think like there's a lot of really good
stuff. It's not all terrible. The thing is, it only feels like it's terrible because of...
That World War II thing again? It's like we're all saying everything is terrible so that we force people to change for the better. Like, we have to assume that everything is terrible, or else we're like, oh, everything's sorted. Okay, well, we won't do anything then. But it could always be better because we're humans, right? We always assume that
some of
the
us.
Grass is greener. We always assume that everyone could be better and happier and richer and have more things if all we do. And so that way we're constantly complaining because we're constantly
I think
unhappy.
It's worked.
We work towards
But I think it does work because if you compare the life of the average person, even a poor person in Britain with the life they would have had 1,000 years ago, they're arguably better
or
off.
Or even 100 years
ago. Yeah, I mean, they're better off.
Oh, man, it was miserable. I mean, we've had this conversation.
So
before,
we aren't
for
getting
sure,
there. But it's just very slow. Like, human nature and society is extremely slow to change.
But are we, as humans, ever going to stop complaining?
No.
Are
we no,
ever
but we should. No. We shouldn't. The moment we say everything's cool, that we will never go anywhere. We have to, it is in our nature to strive and complain and not be happy with our situation.
Yeah.
And you should never be. You should always be looking to make things better. Otherwise, what's the fucking point?
For other people. That's very biblical. That's very biblical, PFLAX. That's like a modern proverb. Like PFLAX 1-1. You should always be looking to make things better or what's for other people or what's the point?
What's the fucking point? You see, this is just like the Bible. You're misquoting
me. The sermon of the baldy. The baldy climbed the hill and spoke, spaketh to the boys, to the lads, and he spake. Why you lads? If thou do not be nice to one another, I will summon upon you 2 female bears to go savage and loose amongst you, and you will be torn limb from limb, and a bottle will be inserted into your butthole. I curse you this.
The thing is, they say happiness comes from within, right? And you can truly be happy within yourself without any external sort of like factors contributing to like your unhappiness, right? You know, like if you're a monk or something and you meditate all day long for like 6 months by yourself, you're going to be happy, right? You're going to find inner peace and you'll probably be like happy. You're doing this thing. But the minute you finish and you go to the store to buy a Kit Kat and like somebody, you know, buds in front of you or like, you know, fucking just does some stupid shit like that, you know, people normally do, that's going to chip away at you, right? Like instantly you're going to be like, you're going to be on this higher plane and then they'll bring you right back down to like the normal like level of the human psyche, right?
I think because you're like the footballer. I think you are different though if you're a monk. You've had this different brain chemistry going on for too long and it's made you
but
weird.
But I like the idea of the monk spending years in isolation achieving nirvana and going to buy a Kit Kat and some guy barges in front of him and he's like,
out of the fucking way, baldy! Oh my god. And then
sucks.
Nirvana is no longer a thing. You're like,
yeah, he's just like, oh fuck. Like, wasted all that time.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah. I think there's like, I was reading this thing by this guy. He's like, he's one of these, he's kind of like a psychologist, but he does like, these seminars on like, you know, like self-awareness, like inner peace and stuff. It's fairly interesting stuff. I'm not like massively into it, but every once in a while, like whatever. And he was telling the story, like similar to what I just said about this monk. And he was like desperate to find, to reach like this, you know, state of mind, this higher state of mind where he just like, you know, nothing in this material world bothered him anymore. He was like spiritually attuned and everything. And he's like fucking meditated for like 6 months or whatever. And it was the same. He like, after 6 months of meditation, he got a letter from like the local council saying that he had to go down and collect something or whatever. So he was like, okay, great. You know, like I'm spiritually attuned. Nothing will bother me or phase me. I'm just going to float down to the office and fucking stand. So he gets down there. There's this massive fucking snaking queue, like out the building and everything. He's like, no problem. I'm fine. I'm just going to stand in the queue, wait my turn. He's there for like 3 hours. He finally gets to the till or whatever. And then the person at the desk is like, actually you needed to fill in form 1C. And what you've done here is you filled in form 1F. So you're going to have to go off and fill in form 1C and come back. And at that point, he just fucking lost it. Like after 6 months of meditation, everything, he's like, you fucking, I've been in a fucking line for 3 fucking hours with this fucking form that took me 5 fucking hours to fill out. Like he just went completely nuts. Like he just melted down.
Man.
So yeah. I think the problem is other people. What is what it boils down to?
Amen.
Yeah,
hell,
that's what they say.
Hell is other people.
But we need them. God bless
God,
them.
God bless.
Otherwise,
them.
who would listen to the Triforce podcast?
God bless him, everyone.
God bless you.
All right, thanks everyone for listening. Yeah, that's the Triforce podcast. It's over. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.